what an effort that is. A wonderful goal for Titus.
Brighton Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
So it's our final show of the season. Playoffs are finished, and yeah, final show.
I'm not sure whether to take a sigh of relief and enjoy the time off or cry.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it's going to be sad, isn't it?
More of a deserved break for yourself, for all the organisation and everything. It's just me, I just get to turn up and have fun.
Yeah, no football over the summer's always, it's always a sad time, really.
I'm sure there's no major tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, that usually makes it worse.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is our 29th show of the season, something like that, so yeah. But yeah, anyway, plenty of stuff to discuss. We'll start with the playoffs. We've done a few Twitter polls as well, and I've got a few fan opinions as well, so it should be a good show. But yeah, we'll start with the Championship, and obviously the big story. It was, as described by David Wagner, a fairy tale ending to the season for Huddersfield after they won the playoff final on penalties. Yeah, massive win and a lot of money for them. And, you know, we've seen on Twitter that, you know, the Huddersfield fans delighted in that, as you'd obviously expect.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic for the football club. And every season you do get the one team that that's not supposed to be up there, but they don't invest money, but they appear at the end of the season. And like I say, Dave Wagner's done a great job there. They've done well in what they've got with the budget, sense to say. They've definitely got the smallest budget out of that top six. There's no ifs, no buts about it. But they've done well in the loan market, and they've got players in they can afford. And above all, they've all ticked. They've got a great spirit there as well. I say Wagner's done a great job in from there. And as I say, it's pretty well done to everyone associated with that football club. But as I say, every season you get this, the one team that doesn't invest money in the squad, that's not come down from the Premier League and hasn't sort of been up there for the last few seasons. So they've struggled in the Championship since they've arrived. They've stayed up every season, sometimes comfortably, sometimes up against it. But it's been an absolutely fantastic season. And yeah, fairy tale was 100% the correct word to describe it.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw there's on Twitter that the chairman said that fans who've been there for the last, I think, so many years, some fans will be able to get season tickets where it'll be the equivalent of £5 a game, which is obviously, you know, a fantastic gesture.
Oh, it's fantastic, and especially that part of the country as well. It's not been, as Gary Neville sort of said, much, especially, it's not too north-east, but that part of the country as well, Yorkshire as a whole, there's not many big, there's not many, a lot of Premier League football up that part of the country anymore, and I know you've got Newcastle back in there, but Yorkshire as a whole hasn't really seen too much Premier League football over the last few years. So it is fantastic for the football club and fantastic for the county, but also just fantastic for the Championship. But no matter how much money you spend in the club, you could go to Aston Villa and come, which we'll talk about later on, and come mid-table, or you could do a bit of get Huddersfield, get your recruitment correct, get your stuff. It's, as I say, it's again the Championship. It's not all about investment. It's about getting 11 players who are going to work their arses off for over 46 games a season, if you include the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got their just rewards.
And I saw Reading, who obviously lost in the final. Yap Stam said he's definitely going to stay at the club, and he's really looking forward to the next season. I know it's you know, you could offer a criticism maybe of their style of play. I saw someone on the forum compared it to Louis van Gaal's Man United. It's very dull football, and I don't think anyone's arguing with that. But, you know, I'm sure they'd have taken that at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, no one really wants to see teams set up like that. But at the end of the day, you're a manager, you've got a job to do. You're not there to make friends. You're there to win, get results, get football matches. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's all about results. It's a results business. He's over the course of the season, he's done a superb job. No one would have had, again, no one would have probably included Reading in the in there, but he certainly wants to come third as well. They've done a fantastic job this season. They keep the ups down. They make some additional changes, especially with maybe some better players going forward, so maybe suit their style of play a bit more on the break. Then certainly I think they're more than capable of challenging again next season.
Mm-hmm. And also, you've got to give a shout out to the other two teams which finished in the playoffs. Fulham, good season for them, and I don't think anyone really expected them to finish in the playoffs in sixth.
Yeah, absolutely. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, last year, done so. But Fulham, they've had a great season, and already, as I say, I think they'll be a real team to look out for in the Championship next season. Got young players there, obviously, they'll use this season as a. It will give them more experience going into next season. They can make a few changes as well, a few tweaks to their squad. I think they'll 100% be, one of the favourites, if not the favourites, to win that division next season.
Mm-hmm. And coming on to my first fan view, fan listen, which has been sent in by Natalie Dean, NatLD182, who says that fourth place was fine. It was an improvement on last year, but never believed the squad was strong enough to challenge for the automatic promotion. It was a bit of a missed opportunity with the playoffs. But they were she went on to say that next season, there's a bit of an expectation of getting the automatics, probably from the chairman as well. And she believes they definitely could be up there if they make three or four good signings.
Yeah, fair view. As you say, with the difference, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield, you've only got to look at Sheffield Wednesday, £11 million spent on Jordan Rhodes. There's no way Huddersfield would be able to afford that. I think that puts it all into perspective, really, on maybe the different views of both sets of supporters. Maybe that's why Sheffield Wednesday fans might feel a bit miffed that, as I said, they didn't get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Looking at a few sides as well, which didn't make the playoffs, underachieved a bit, maybe. For start with Norwich, they brought in Daniel Farke as the manager. He worked at Borussia Dortmund, and I saw Stuart Webber's also come in as a director of football role. So there's a bit of positivity for next year, I think, with that.
Yeah, and they've obviously gone for, they've seen the Huddersfield side of things, what you can do if you go abroad and get a good coach. Bob Redden as well, another great example. So they tried to be clever about it, not gone for some of your standard names in the Championship that you usually get the job. So it could be a clever appointment. But then again, always on the flip side of the coin, it could be a complete disaster. If I look at Walter Zenga as a one Brighton a few years ago for Sammy Hippier. So it's always the case of you don't know until it gets underway, but it's certainly something different, and I admire them for going out and not going for the Norwich, obviously a club that's easily gone, but they've got money there, they could just go on to one of the usual managers nine around saying, yeah, but you've got a big budget, get the job done. So no, they've gone for a technical approach, you know. And yeah, you never know. I think they'll certainly change again, say, with their money they've got at that football club and the players they've got at the moment. The players there will know they haven't delivered to the standards their supporters expect this season. Mm-hmm. But certainly, as I say, they'll go again next season, I'm sure of it.
Well, Ollie Inwoods said that the campaign was a bit of a failure based on the expectations, and the players didn't perform as well as it should. And obviously, with the manager being sacked, playoffs not made, it's disappointing. But he did make the point that at least it was entertaining because their team was the joint top scorers and they conceded nearly the most goals of anyone.
Yeah, got a lot. I've always liked his stats for teams like that. But yeah, no. As I say, it's not to be for them. But yeah, I'm sure next season they'll go again. One thing though, Norwich, they're sacking. I think their fans might be a bit annoyed they couldn't make the sacking maybe a bit sooner.
Mm.
So I suppose certainly after they got tramps at our place 5-0, I thought that would be a good time to do it. But they may have dragged that on a bit too long. And when he got sacked, it was an awful lot of ground to try and make up for the playoffs. So I think maybe the owners might take a little bit of blame for that. But yeah, I'm sure next season they'll be up there again.
But then on the other side of the coin, going back to what you've sort of said before, I do think they've done the right thing, not rushing into an appointment, writing off the season almost, just appointing an interim manager, then, waiting until the end of the season. That's the focus rather than just...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Looking as well at Derby and Aston Villa, they're two sides, at the start of the season, we thought they'd be up there. But both disappointing seasons, sort of finishing out the playoffs, mid-table in the case of Villa. But I know Natalie said as well, Villa, a side that will be very strong next season, especially under Steve Bruce. I think there are two sides that I think might do well. And, we said that at the start of this season, but I think there too, with Gary Rowett as well at Derby, I think.
Yeah, I think, like you said, with Phil, I think they'll be two sides that'll be really strong next season. Rowett, great appointment. We see, you've got to look at his job, we could talk about his job maybe more night, so good that is, but bottom line, obviously, everyone knows it was just a tremendous job there. And I think at Derby, he'll do well. They've got a great squad, Derby. I think if Rowett can get them playing as a team, I think that's what a few managers have struggled, I think, at Derby over the last couple of years, is getting that team spirit. They're getting them to play together as a team. I think they've got to look at examples from like Huddersfield, Brighton, and that team sort of togetherness and spirit, that they can get that going. I think that they'll be really strong for next season. And for Villa, I think they've ended the season on pretty very well. I understand they're not going to make they're not going to spend money, if at all, over the summer due to the strong spend they did spend in January. So, and with Bruce, I think they've got the players already in place to challenge. So I think they've got a very strong squad. Bruce there. Bruce is a great championship manager. I think 100% they'll be up there, and I certainly expect to have a lot better season than they've had this year.
And looking at some of the sides towards the bottom of the championship who've maybe not had the best of seasons. So Wolves, they've parted company with Paul Lambert, but Nuno Santo, who used to be in charge of Porto, he's coached a few other sides in Europe, has come in. Obviously, he's not coached in the championship before, so a bit of an unknown quantity, but potentially, I think, you know, you look at someone like Marco Silva, I think he could potentially be a very good coach.
Yeah, I think he's got... it's not too much of a gamble in the sense that he's managed at a very high level in Porto, so obviously I know it's a bit of a gamble in the sense that it's like the championship, but when you've got that much of a big club with Massoud, it's a bit like Benitez, I think. I think he'll be okay. Again, if they've got the Wolves have got Mr. I think they'll certainly have to invest in a few more players, because clearly some of the players that they've had this season haven't been good enough. Paul Lambert, I think, did a pretty good job there, to be fair, with a good cut run with Wolves. But yeah, I think overall it's been a pretty disappointing season for Wolves. Luckily, it wasn't too drastic, it dropped out of the league or anything. But as I say, with a bit of money spent, I think they've certainly got the ability to, and they've certainly got the infrastructure there to challenge. It's a massive club, fantastic supporters. But I think they're going to need a bit more quality, I think, in their squad. Certainly try and keep hold of the Elder Costa as well.
Mm-hmm. And also at Leeds, Andrea Radziszewski's come in, taking over the club, which I'm sure a lot of fans will be relieved about. But unfortunately, Gary Monk's resigned. He said he wasn't able to reach an agreement with the new boss. There's a lot of talk this new guy's pretty ambitious. And there's also talk that Aitor Karanka may come in from Middlesbrough.
Karanka looks like a dead cert there, I think, especially their director from there. Wanted his work with Cracker. And again, that it's a shame it's worked out for Monk at Leeds. But I think if you know there's going to be any dodgy relationship at all with the owner manager, you've got to do it before the season starts, or certainly before pre-season starts. So fair play to both them from reaching an agreement and saying that it's not going to work out together. But I think certainly both clubs, I think, or both parties, I should say, will have success next season. I think Monk will certainly find a club he'd like to think, even maybe in the Championship, perhaps even a Premier League club might even become a club, because they certainly did a pretty good job with Swansea, and then Leeds done an outstanding job. So Monk won't be out of the game for long, if it's all. And Leeds, I think, over the job Monk's done there, he's got the good squad there together. He's got the fans back on side there, Monk. They can get a manager in, especially someone like Karan Cruz, obviously good, done well at Middlesbrough. They'll certainly challenge again, for sure.
It's a bit of a season of what might have been for Leeds after dropping out of the playoffs so late, and I know throughout the season, if you listen to previous episodes, we were saying that definitely in the playoffs, or you know, almost certainly in the playoffs, it's a bit of a what might have been there.
Well, I say, I think Leeds, that has been a problem with the end of the season, running it hasn't helped them at all. Almost full and went almost that unnoticed quality, and then they've got there. But it's been a better season over the last few. It's been a dire season after a dire season after a dire season. So at least their fans have seen them have a genuinely good season, and I think they'll certainly change again next season. I think over it was disappointing they couldn't have got a first ball, given how well they've done, but at least it has been a much better season than what those fans have seen over the last really a few seasons.
And a side we've not really discussed much this season. I think they've had a bit of a nothingy season, really. Ipswich. Ashley Carver one has sent me. Ashley Carver from the Ash and Al show. He sent me a nice poetic thoughts on his season. I've got an extract from it. It's a lot longer. The full version's on the B2 website if you want to read it. But just to read a bit of it, it says, "No longer will I be partaking in the shame of a one-way relationship. It's now your turn to show me the commitment, passion and willingness to do whatever it takes that I and many others have in our support of you. I often wonder if I could change my allegiance to a team, would I have done so? The answer is no. My love for you may have gone, but there is still a bond between us that cannot be broken." yeah, he wrote quite a long poem, but yeah, it's been a bit of a nothingy season for Ipswich. We've not really mentioned them much, I don't think.
I think they missed the trick. I think a couple of years ago when they had a great season, they should have cashed in on the players like when there was money being offered from McGoldrick and Murphy, who good players. I think the money that was offered them, they should have accepted it, and they could have invested in a lot of new talent. But they decided to keep the core group together, and it doesn't work. It hasn't worked out. Whatever McCarthy's going to be the next season, but it has been a nothingy season for them, hasn't it? And it's and to be fair to them, it seems that I'll give their fans a lot of credit, because every season certainly when I've been in the Championship at Brighton, it's every year you see Ipswich are always mid table apart from that one season we said a few years ago and they got the plus. But their fans just keep going and their numbers both home and away, so all credit to them, and they make a lot of noise there at Ipswich, and I do hope they can sort of challenge again. They're just I think they're going to need certainly some new faces there to freshen up a bit.
Yeah, I agree. I personally think a new manager myself. Mick McCarthy said that he deserves a lot more credit than what he's getting. I saw he said that a few weeks before the end of the season, but yeah. All right, so I'll move on. I want to discuss Nottingham Forest. I've got a view off Liquid Football. Who've said that, as expected, the side either go down or would be close to going down. They said that in August. They said it's been a disaster of a campaign, but they're happy that the owners finally sold up, and also with some of the youth coming through. And that, is it going to be another season of struggle next season for them, do you expect?
Forest, you just never know, because every year it just seems to be in one way. Every year they've had we'll write this campaign off, we'll go again next season, or we'll start off well, and then we'll do badly. So I'm not going to say I really don't want to comment on Forest. I'm sure their fans do as well. But you've got to look at it. New owners in. Mark Wolfson's done a fantastic job with Brentford. You'd like to think they'll challenge next season, but could it be just the same merry-go-round for Forest? I don't know. I hope they do well. It's a massive club. It'll be great to see them back in the Premier League, but it really is the case of who knows. It's I think it's a club like what we said. Really, they need a good summer and recruiting the correct players and everything. And they can do that. They've definitely got a chance.
Mm-hmm. And just finally for me on the Championship, I want to mention Blackburn with DM Whiteside 04. He said that it's been a difficult season, starting from that bad appointment of Owen Coyle. It wasn't helped by negativity from the fans. He said it changed a bit when Tony Mowbray came in, things improved, and he's hopeful of next season. He said he's going to stay a season ticket holder next year and hopes for promotion. It's been a terrible season, hasn't it? And obviously the behind the scenes, you know, with Venkis hasn't helped.
Yeah, it's not right. Just have a way to really describe it. I mean, you sort of said it all there, and it's a great season. I feel a bit sorry for Mowbray, really. He's come in at the end, to be fair, he's rallied them a bit. He's certainly on the last day, they picked up a great result, but it wasn't enough. But with him there, hopefully next season they can sort of almost try and replicate Bolton's season this year, because I thought Bolton struggled in League One, but they didn't. So if Blackburn can use that as almost try and copy them, then hopefully they can have their fans will have some smaller faces in their bit. I mean, it'd be good to get that Ewood Park a bit more busier as well, because as I said, it's not been some of it. I've spoken to a fan at work who's about it's been disappointing seeing to almost single figures attendances for a club that's won the Premier League, don't forget. Yeah. And it's an old fashioned football club as well. You don't want to see sort of almost 8,000 people there at a big club. So I really hope that they can sort of almost at least have some success next season in League One and get some supporters back on side and start seeing the park a bit more busier.
I think I read that the average attendance was 42% of the capacity. It was, I think it was 42. It was definitely less than half of the capacity, the average attendance, which is a joke, really.
Well, it is. And as I said, I mean, the club's had problems for a while, and you can't blame supporters for not wanting to spend their hard-earned money going if it's just going to be crap at the end of the day. So I do hope they can start turning it around, and certainly the fans that have been going for all this trouble some time, that they'll start to get some smart back on their faces.
So we'll move on to League One. We'll start with the playoffs. The playoff final, obviously, Millwall beat Bradford 1-0 to get into the Championship, but felt the game was a bit tarnished by the antics at the end from some of the fans. They obviously went onto the pitch, a pitch invasion, which, you know, is perfectly fine in my view. You know, people don't like it, but fine. But then, you know, some of them went and goaded the Bradford players, and I thought it was a bit unacceptable. I know the EFL, the Millwall manager, Neil Harris, has come out and apologised, but I just thought it was a bit of a disgrace myself.
I completely agree. And the main people I feel sorry for is the Millwall fans again. They're having their day out at Wembley. Fantastic day. Fantastic day out for ending a fantastic season for the football club. And they want to enjoy their day, but again, it's their name getting tarnished through the thing. And it's not about Millwall. It's fans who turn up these big games like the Leicester when they all travel at home, that thinking that they want to turn up because Millwall's got a name of past history, and they want to cause trouble. They're not interested in watching the football. They're simply interested in a bit of trouble, a bit of mucking around, and yeah, it's embarrassing at the end of the day. I mean, a pitch invasion, in my view, is fine. If it's so I don't think Wembley, I wouldn't do it as it's home of football. But for instance, if you get promoted on your home pitch and you run on the pitch, celebrate with your players, it's fine. That's nothing. That's fantastic scenes. Running on the pitch at the end of a playoff, a heartbreak game for the opposition, you don't run and start. It's just disrespectful, and that's why the Mill fellow professionals like Mill were really annoyed with their fans. And we saw Harris livid. Say in a playoff final, you don't. It's not all about go. It's enjoying your moment, to the promotion. But obviously, you don't start voting the Bradford players who it's heartbreak for them. I feel genuine Millwall fans because it's their name getting tarnished again. Due to a small minority of idiots, really.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's sad as well that we're talking, but like, we can't not talk about it because it's a big story, but it's sad that that's where the attention is rather than, you know, celebrating the fact that Millwall have gone up because, you know, it's fantastic for the club.
Absolutely, it's a great club to see them back in the Championship. It's always a great ground to watch your football match there. It's a lot of noise. They're passionate supporters, they're genuine Millwall fans. Everyone would be like to be back in the Championship. Paul Craig Neil Harris, who lives in Bruce, that football club, has done a great job there. And as I say, hopefully it's just these players standing behind them there, because they've got some fantastic support with them. It's just the same when you stand up and we have to start talking about it, really.
And also Bolton and Sheffield United up. Sheffield United with an amazing tally of 100 points. Yeah, be interesting to see if they all three can stay in the Championship next season.
Yeah, I think all three have got a great chance. Bolton have come back a lot stronger than last year, so I'm sure they'll look for a bit more solidarity. Millwall, I think, with a few players, you know, say you just never know. It's a hard place to play the football at. They've got very good young players coming through.
Sheffield United, I
really think they'll be challenging at the right
end
of the table next year.
And looking at elsewhere in League One, I spoke to Matty Roper, who we've had on the show a few times, asked him what his thoughts on the season were. his first response was, "It's been an awful season." He said the recruitment went to pot in the summer, obviously losing Adam Armstrong, John Fleck, James Maddison and the others in the summer didn't help. And he said he criticised Russell Slade and said that under him, it was the worst brand of football he's ever seen. But he said he's looking forward to next season. He's hoping that promotion's a realistic ambition. He said it's hard to say with that club, though, but the recruitment's been good so far with 6 players brought in to date.
The recruitment there is... so they've obviously already planned for next season. Getting it early, you can certainly can work. You see a lot of clubs, obviously, when the season finishes, they are fit for all the meetings to get in the first. They've got their eye on and Paul Quinn them straight to it, and they've certainly got their eye on next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, just want to mention, Swindon who also went down to League Two. Luke Williams has left the club, and Tim Sherwood is almost certainly going to leave once a manager's been appointed. It's been said that there's three managers on the shortlist, but then the approach Swindon have taken obviously hasn't worked.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's not a big club, and it hasn't worked with the director of football. I'm never a big fan of that, and it's another bit of evidence to say that it doesn't work, but if they can get a correct manager in, they've got a lot of good supporters there. I'm sure they'll have a find a bigger budget in that league, so they'll certainly be challenging at the right end of that table next year.
All right, just to finish, we'll go on to League Two. Blackpool won the playoff final against Exeter. Again, it's a bit of a non-football related issue we're discussing in the playoff final, because Gary Bowyer said it was a bit of a shame about the fan turnout being so disappointing with, you know, fans choosing to boycott. But you know, Blackpool up in League One, which is, you know, a great achievement, and hopefully it's the start of a bit of an upturn, and maybe they'll get a few more fans there next season.
Yeah, it's first and foremost fantastic job Gary Bowyer's done there. He's done a great job, given all the on-field circumstances. Full credit to the players for being motivated, and they've done a great job there. So, absolutely, congratulations to everyone for the club. That's the job. Bad news is, until behind the scenes to sort it out, it's going to be like that, and I can't blame the supporters one bit. They want their owners out, they want these oysters out. Until they go, the football club's simply got nothing, regardless of the promotion. They're not there, they shouldn't be there. Until that can get sorted out, then the supporters are flocked back in. So it's almost a difficult. I mean, it's refreshing to actually see a club doing well, even when times off the pitch are difficult. You never really see that. Usually it's a case of Coventry letting all of it sort of away. Relegation, but as I say, until the on-field problems are sorted out, then the happy days just simply aren't going to be there.
What about Exeter, who made the final? I know their boss, Paul Tisdale, said it was a great season.
Yeah, it's been a great season for Exeter. Again, it was almost still. They're always those one team, isn't there, that struggles and then sort of get the close, but they thought they've almost right on the wall to do it every year, since a couple of days up. But no, full credit to the Paul Tisdale. I guarantee he's got very young players there. Must give a special shout out to Dave Wheeler, Sussex Les Clair. He's placed for a Lewis Football Club, a local club of mine, and a very, very one of the best non-league Sussex players, obviously. So full credit to him. A lad to take the goal as well in the final. But they've had a great season, and if Paul can keep hold of his a lot of the majority of that squad, maybe he had a few, they'll certainly be favourites promotion next season, I think.
Mm-hmm. Another side on their way up as well, we've mentioned Blackpool, but Portsmouth, who were a Premier League side too. They won the league, but they've lost their manager Paul Cook, who's gone to Wigan. I think, as in a bit of a side, that's a great appointment for Wigan. But disappointment that he's left. But there's rumours Kenny Jackett's coming in.
Yep, see on that. Paul Cook, so he's done a great job with Portsmouth. He's got them up, and I don't think there'll be too much hard feelings. At the end of that, I think at this moment in time, Wigan have probably got the bigger, the better, the more realistic angle of getting promoted, I think, next season. He used to play for the football club, so he's very well known in those parts. I think the Portsmouth fans shouldn't be too annoyed. So he's done a great job getting them promoted. He's decided to go his way. I think he should be respected. And then the plus side, they get Kenny Jackett, and that's a superb appointment. Kenny knows the Football League inside out. He's got success wherever he goes, pretty much. I think that'd be a great appointment for the football club. So I think it should just be sort of almost smiles all around, and certainly he can get a good reception when he plays against them at Pratt Park next season.
And at the bottom of the league, got a couple of fan views. Firstly, from George Didcote 19 on Cheltenham, who's been on the show before. He said that the team were unstable and at times not good enough, but he never questioned the commitment or the passion of the players. He's happy that they've avoided relegation. It's been a positive ending to a difficult first season, and you know, hard to argue with that really. After coming up, you know, all you want to do is make sure you stay up, really.
Yeah, especially if a club like Sheltenham have got money to burn, really, like a few other clubs who sort of come through the non-league, and then they can, like you see, Fleetwood can keep going strong again. But they've stayed up, that's the main aim. better. I think they'll see what where the problems are. They'll, I think Gary Johnson, yeah, he's a great manager. He'll sort it out, and I think they'll be okay next season. I think.
Mm-hmm. And just to finish, I want to talk about the two sides which went down. Firstly, Hartlepool, who another fan view from FR Football Danny, who says that you know, the side have flirted with relegation for years now, and there is a time when it's not going to go your way. He was unhappy with the chairman for selling players and not bringing in replacements, and that Dave Jones was too forceful as a manager with some of those players who are of a lower quality than what he's used to working with.
That sacking should have been done way before it was done, and it's cost them in the end, hasn't it? There's no other way to describe it. They saw the run coming, they saw the Newport on that great run, and it's cost them.
You're saying that, looking forward to the future, trying to undo the mistakes of Coxall with Hartlepool supporters. Trust has just got just over 700 members now. So whether they're a side that can come back into the Football League, I'd have thought they could.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with Hartlepool, it's a stable football club. Dropping out of the non-league, it's not as bad as it was back in the day where it could almost bankrupt the club. It's basically a football space. Too these days, so I'm sure that the only problem is obviously more difficult to get out because there's only one sport that's up for grabs. So they can, I'm sure they can have players who know that league as well. I think that'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, just want to mention Leighton Orient, Omar Reitz, so I saw that he's said that he's not sure at the moment whether he's staying on as a manager, what the budget is, or anything really. It's still an uncertain time at the club, but you know, wish him well. Hope everything goes all right there, and that. Yeah, there is still a club next season, to be honest.
Well, that's, I think that first and foremost, we do hope that we're going to be when we're looking at the results next season coming up, we do hope we see Leighton Orient on the sheet. I think then one thing they need to get that sort of strategy going, whether it's Omar in charge next season or a different manager, budget band players, this all needs to be sorted out pretty promptly, because you know, pre season started, and if you're behind other clubs, then it just leads to recipes to disaster. So, but first and foremost, I do hope we will be seeing Leighton Orient Football Club as a football club next season.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, just to finish the show, on Twitter we did the Football League Awards, the 72 Show Awards. I believe you have the results, Nick.
I do indeed. So there's only champagne or anything. So it would just be a special thank a tweet, I suspect, but. That was the manager of the season in the EFL, just to stress, three division, Championship League 1 and League 2. The nominations were Paul Cook of Portsmouth, Chris Hughton of Brighton, Chris Wilder of Sheffield United, and Gary Bowyer of Blackpool. And the winner with a 63% is Chris Wilder. So congratulations to Chris and Sheffield United lads on a tremendous season and smashing League 1, and all the best for the next season. The next one is the Underachievers of the Award, so not a award you really want to pick up. Four nominations were Hartlepool, Leighton Orient, Aston Villa and Coventry, and the winners with 60% was Aston Villa. Obviously a disappointing season there, but hopefully Steve and the players, they can challenge again next season. Next up is the Player of the Season Award. The four players up were Anthony Knockhart, John Fleck, Chris Wood and Billy Sharp, and surprising one, with the win by 54%, Billy Sharp.
Mm.
So congratulations to him. Sheffield went second tonight, seemed to be scooping up these awards. They're suspicious about the voting. The 70s, and finally the guest of the season, one of my favourite ones. We had Andy Cousins, Omar Reitzer, Gary Alexander and Nick Tanner, and the winner with 52% was Andy Cousins.
Yeah.
A big thank you to all the guests, but and the blogger and writer guest of the season, we had Danny from Liquid Football, Ashley from the Sean Barker documentary, George Didcote and Matty Roper. The winner with a massive 69%, Matty Roper. Yeah. I've got suspicion he would probably vote for himself if he's on there, but made loads of fake accounts. overachieving side of the league, the nominations were Fleetwood Town, Brighton, Burton Albion, Huddersfield, and the winners with a massive 70% was Huddersfield. Congratulations to David Wagner and everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it.
Some pretty all the awards seemed pretty clear cut, the winner, but it was quite a big percentage, most of them, but yeah.
Fantastic work, another fantastic EFL season, but well done to all 72 sides, to make it another great season.
Yeah, no, congratulations to all the winners. And yeah, I just want to finish by saying thank you to all the guests. I've got a list of everyone who's appeared this season. Just want to say thank you to Ross Milton, Rodri Giggs, Shane Lees, Matty Roper, Andy Cousins, Gary Alexander, Matt Hamshaw, Danny from Liquid Football, Barry Hales, Ashley Carter from the Sean Barker Dot, Jason Jarrett, Craig Hinton, Roger Elio, Paul Parker, Omar Rietzer, George Didcote, Nick Tanner, Richard Foster, and Ronnie Moore. And most notably for guest hosting in my absence, Richard Hero Hudson. So congratulations all. And obviously thanks, Nick, for being on almost every episode this season. Loved having you on the show.
An absolute pleasure. One of my favourite times of the week.
Yeah.
We get a lot, I don't know.
All right. So, for this season at least, it's goodbye from us. But, thanks for listening. Anyone who's listening tonight or to any of our other shows, appreciate your support. And hopefully we'll see you next season. Goodbye from me and goodbye from Nick Davey.
Goodbye.